Father, so much grace and so much love poured out upon us every single day. We are grateful and we are humbled. Praise you. Thank you for all that you are, all that you do, and all that you have for us, Lord. Thank you. We worship you, Father. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word, this book of Proverbs tonight, and do a work in us. And we thank you ahead of time for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. So much grace, huh? Couple of announcements. This Friday night, is there anything too hard for God? Our triplets testimony. You don't want to miss that, especially those high school girls. You're invited to, in case you didn't know. But if you want to be encouraged, if you know, a lot of us pray. We have a lot of prayer requests, and some we pray for years and years and years, don't we? And we don't see the answer. We don't see. Well, here's a testimony that you will be hearing of an older brother praying for his younger sisters to be reunited with them after 51 years. That's a lot of praying and a long time waiting. So it's a great heart-touching story of our friend Susan and her two sisters. And so come out Friday night, bring a friend, and get blessed, okay? A month ago, when I taught, I felt prompted to share with you about my parents and my dad, especially, that he was kind of on his way to heaven. And I think it was through your prayers that ushered him into heaven that very next morning. And that's a gift, I think. And I'm glad you got to be a part of that, and I appreciate your prayers. My mom is doing okay. She does have dementia, so she's still very confused. She does know my dad is in heaven, but she gets confused over that and cries a lot. And so you can be praying for her. Her health is not that great now. She's always been very healthy, but she's got a lung problem and a heart problem. So we're keeping an eye on her. But she's fun and funny. So it's a hoot to take care of her and see her. Sometimes it's really hard. Yesterday was really hard when I showed up, because I see her every day. And when I showed up and she was on the porch with her purse and her list, because she thought I was taking her to the store, but she never asked me. I didn't know anything about it, and I felt terrible. And when I said, "Mom, you didn't tell me. Do you want me to take you right now?" "No, I don't know what I'm doing." And then she fell apart, and then now she doesn't want to live because my dad's there. And it was very sad, very hard. But then she's real easy to turn right around. "Okay, well, let's just go in, and I need to put you on your oxygen because you're not breathing very well. And here, let me put this cream on your legs." And I'm rubbing her legs, and she's just sitting there. And it was just very nice. So by the time, she was just waving to me as I left, so that was nice. But you can keep her in your prayers, but thank you again for praying for my dad. That was really something to get that call in the morning that he was gone, to know that I just shared with so many women and that those prayers helped usher him in. So thank you very much. So we are in Proverbs tonight. We continue this study in this wonderful book that is full of wisdom, full of truth. And this topic tonight is a very important one. They all are. But Proverbs does give over 120 verses on this topic. So you can't teach Proverbs or teach from Proverbs without teaching this topic. The book of Psalms gives over 110 verses on the topic. The New Testament gives about 189 verses, and the Old Testament together over 800, and that is on our words, or our mouth, or tongue, our lips, our speech, communication, our conversation. A very well-known proverb to most Christians and probably most unbelievers, if you turn to Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I don't think anybody can argue with that proverb at all. They've all know the truth of that. Now, we've all heard that saying, sticks and stones will break my can break my bones, but names or words can never hurt me, right? Somebody's mother had to have made that up many, 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 many years ago when their child came home crying because somebody was calling them names or teasing them or something, and, you know, the mom's going to get tough and say, well, no, sticks and stones, they can break your bones, but words, names can't hurt you, you know, just shake it off and move forward. It's a nice thought, but the fact is that words do hurt. They hurt. We've all been hurt. There's not a person in this room, there's not a person in the world who has not been hurt by a word or two spoken to them or against them at one point or another. And the thing with words, too, is that once they're spoken, that you cannot take them back. It doesn't matter if you say, oh, I didn't mean that. And even if you really didn't mean that, it still was said. And probably the person is going to remember it for the rest of their life because it cuts to the heart. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that is a very heavy proverb. And with that comes responsibility for us, especially for us as ambassadors of Christ. How much more responsibility do we have with our words to represent him properly, to say the things that Jesus said and not say the things that he would never say? So we're going to start with the death words first, because we want to end on a happy note. James speaks of the tongue, that it's a fire. And if you turn over to James chapter 3, I'm going to read the first 12 verses in that. He says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of the and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless God and Father, and we curse men, and with it we curse men who have been made in the same likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. It's So you read that about the tongue, and it just does makes you not want to talk at all. Because it's like, oh, yeah, there is death in the power of the tongue. He said it only takes a spark to set a forest on fire. Now, we've had examples of that over the last few years with these fires that have one little spark, and because of the high winds, that spark goes all over and burns thousands and thousands of acres and does great damage. And it can only take one harsh or one unkind word to do great damage to another person. Our words can hurt feelings for a moment, and they can damage and ruin a person's reputation at the same time. There is a lot that can be said about the power of words. I mean, you can do a series just on the tongue, on the mouth, on our speech or conversation, which, of course, we can't do that tonight. But there are just two death words or death things that I want to look at. I think the Lord has led me to these two because they probably cause the most pain and the most damage in the body of Christ. And that is slander and gossip. Slander means to make a false or a damaging statement about someone else, which means when we say a negative about someone or something unkind, or we point out a fault of someone to someone else, that's considered slander. Gossip is unconstrained conversation or reports about other people. It's just telling people's business to everyone else, and it can also be exaggerated and even made up gossip. It doesn't mean that we can't talk to our friends and say, oh, did you hear so-and-so is moving? Oh, I know she's moving, blah, blah, blah. That's not necessarily gossip. It is when it's done with an evil intent, or it's just unconstrained. It's just like careless in its passing on information. So I want to read some Proverbs and just make a few comments on them. As I said, there's over 110 verses in the book of Proverbs alone that deal with the mouth, with the tongue, with our conversation. And so we're not going to get into all of it or different aspects, but these kind of, they mostly pertain to either slander or gossip. And you can jot them down, or most of them will be in the homework that you pick up, but not all of them. Proverbs 16:27 says that an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. There are people who they look for the wrong, and they look for the evil, and they look for a way to hurt or to damage somebody else's reputation. And the Proverbs tells us that's an ungodly man that does that. That's an unspiritual person that does that kind of a thing. Proverbs 11:9, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Destroys his neighbor. Our words, again, they can destroy another person's reputation. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, causing pain, sharp, cutting comments, digs, put downs. Even sarcasm, because I heard this a lot, which was a good thing for me to hear because I grew up with a very sarcastic family. And when I heard someone say, you know, there's always some truth in every bit of sarcasm. And I thought, boy, that is so true. Because, you know, sarcasm is you use it as a joke. But to put down against somebody else, but that you would never say to them, but when you say it in a humorous way, you get your little dig in, and everybody's laughing, and maybe the person doesn't even really know they've just been pierced with a sword. Proverbs 10:18. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. That's a good one. I mean, that just says it. So if I spread slander, I'm a fool. So when I hear people spreading slander, I'm hearing somebody very foolish speak, because it's so damaging. Death can be in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:8 and 26:22, which is the same verse in two different places in Proverbs, it must be very important. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. A talebearer, somebody who just goes on telling these tales that are damaging, that are ruining someone, that are negative, that are like death. And but for the hearer, you know, you listen to it and it's tasty. Some people love gossip. Some people love slander. It's weird that we would, oh, really? What happened? Did you hear about Fred? Oh, what happened? I knew that Fred. He was a little, yeah, I knew that. What else did he do? You know, that's in us. It's all in all of us. We just love those little juicy bits. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets. And how damaging is that? When something is said in confidence, and a good rule of life is consider everything that is said to you confidential. And if you're wondering if somebody's talking to you, can I share that information with my husband or with my friend or whatever? Is this confidential that you're pregnant, or is this common knowledge? You know, it's just a good idea to have in your head, I don't repeat this. You know, my sister-in-law, Damien's youngest sister, we laugh about this because my husband is probably one of the most confidential persons I've ever known. And he, when his sister is sharing things with him, he asks her, is that okay if I tell Karen? And she is just like, I would have called her first, you know, kind of. Of course you can tell Karen. But I respect him for that. So you're safe telling him anything. I know nothing. No, he keeps secrets. Not bad secrets, you know what I mean. Confidences. Proverbs 17:9. He who repeats a matter separates friends. It's so true. You know, just those words from our mouth, that our friend tells us something and we go repeat it to someone else, It can damage a relationship. Proverbs 6:18 and 19 says that six things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination to him. That has our attention. God hates these things. They're an abomination. And a few of those: a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and then one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates that. He hates the division among his people. The people that slander and gossip and seek to destroy another person's reputation, God hates it. Doesn't hate the person. He hates the sin. He hates what they are doing. You know, it's like as a mother and your children are fighting and your child starts saying horrible things about this child. You're not going to let that go on. You're going to say, wait, I mean, I had to say that. Stop it. You are talking about my daughter. Stop it right now. I mean, it hurts a mother to hear her kids talking mean to each other. Maybe your kids never did that, but mine did. And how much more God, when he looks at it and you are damaging my child, my children, my body of the people that come together and worship me. You are damaging that. He hates it. Slander and gossip divide. It also causes people to choose sides. Who am I going to believe? You know? And it reveals our heart when I say, oh yeah, I knew Fred. I knew that guy was like that. We're going to automatically believe this thing about Fred, even though Fred's life didn't show any of that. But this one person who's mad at Fred is going to tell me all this rotten stuff and I'm going to believe him. That's a revelation of my own heart, not the truth. People get swayed. People get caught in it. It's so damaging. And there are a lot of people that simply want to believe the worst. But death is in the power of words. If those words were not said about Fred or Ethel or whoever, there wouldn't be the damage. It's the words that come out, the gossip, the slander. Proverbs 26:20 says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. I mean, that is like so, it's such an obvious proverb. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. The fire's burning, or the fire didn't even get started because you got to have wood. You have to have wood to keep it going. So if there isn't any wood, there's no fire. And if there's no talebearer, there's no gossip. There's no slander. It's done. It's over. It can't be passed on. So when we hear that, when we hear the gossip, and when we hear the slander, we need to say, is this really necessary to repeat? It's going to die with me. I'm not going to repeat this. Why would I repeat this? Why would I say these things about Fred or Ethel when I don't even know if they're true or not? And if they are true, I'm not going to say that anyway because that's not nice. It's going to die with me. Proverbs 20:19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. It's telling us, don't even associate. Don't listen to the gossip and the slander. Just stop listening. Now, some of us have a really hard time with that because we're so nice, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But there is a time and place to stop a slanderer and to stop the gossip, where you just say, those are unkind words that you're saying right now. I don't need to know that. I'm not a part of this. I don't want to hear any more. And you shouldn't be saying those things to other people. The words that we speak, whether death or life, any words are directly related to our heart and what's in our heart. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's pretty heavy. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, so whatever is in my heart, it will come out my mouth. We can't argue with him about that. We can't hide it either, because he already knows. He already knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our minds. Psalm 139, it tells us that you, Lord, understand my thoughts afar off. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He weighs the hearts. He knows the hearts. He knows our hearts and our minds. The passage that we read in James tells us that we all stumble in words. Only a perfect man does not stumble. Even if you keep your mouth shut, if your heart's not right, you're stumbling anyway. So only a perfect man who has a completely pure heart won't stumble in words. Now, we don't know any of those because they don't exist. Jesus was the only one. We still battle every single day, don't we? We have fleshly battles. We battle our flesh. We battle our fleshly desires. We battle our fleshly weaknesses. All those things we battle every single day. And every single morning we wake up and we have a choice. Do we give in to all this icky stuff in our hearts and our minds? Or do we give in to and say yes to the Lord and walk with him and have him purify our hearts? How we respond to each situation or to each person, what comes out of our mouth when there's a bump in the road or a temptation or something like that, like listening to and repeating gossip. I mean, why are we listening to it? Why are we listening to it? Because we want to listen to it. If we really didn't want to listen to it, we wouldn't. You know, you would walk away. We would walk away. So why are we listening to it? Or if there's a temptation to repeat it, or if there's angry or bitter words that come out of our mouths, or if we're impatient words, or whatever it might be, it's what's in the heart. It is what it would. I had this thing the other day that I, let's see, how am I going to share this? Let's see, because I'm pretty rotten. Let's see, I got to make myself look a little better. Okay, so apparently I had something in my heart that I thought I had taken care of, but I really didn't. And so when I was cross paths with this person, I was very cordial and very outwardly fine. But then I got in my car and thought, that was wrong. That was just wrong. I'm wrong, Lord. I am very sorry. I thought I had dealt with that, and I didn't, and I'm very sorry. It's in my heart. It was in my heart. Thankfully, the Lord had a guard over my tongue, my mouth. But sooner or later, whatever is in our hearts will be revealed, especially the more we talk. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Bill McDonald has a comment on that. He said, those who love to use it, our mouth, use it a lot, must be prepared to take the consequences. The Amplified says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. James tells us that no man can tame the tongue. So we must go to the source of the tongue in terms of where is this coming, where are these words coming from? Well, you got to go back to the heart. So if you've walked with the Lord and you've learned these things, you know automatically when it's like, where did that come from? Oh, it came from my heart. I know that. You know, if you've walked with the Lord for any length of time, you know. These are not just words that just popped out of your mouth. No, they were in here, and work their way out. So you know, we have to go to the source. Proverbs 4:23 says to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And that, again, is a entire study in and of itself. But to guard our heart, keeping it right before the Lord, is the first step in keeping our tongue under control. If we have a problem, and maybe some of us do tonight, well, we are gossiping or slandering, or we're just being mean, or you know, we're angry or impatient, or you know, snippy with people, or whatever it might be, and we've just been like that. The first step, it isn't, well, I'm just gonna zip my lip and not say anything when she's around or if he's around, or I'm just gonna hold my breath, you know. That's good, but we got to deal with the heart first. Warren Wiersbe said, a godly tongue demands a godly heart, because the tongue only speaks what the heart treasures. Again, what is in the heart is going to come out the mouth, and as a godly tongue demands a godly heart. Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Step back. It's got to start in my heart, and then I can keep my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking guile. Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Amen to that. To guard our heart and guard our mouth and guard our tongue, we will keep out of trouble. We've probably all been in those situations where what we wanted to say was right on the tip of our tongue, and we put a guard there, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, we didn't say it, and boy, are we glad. Oh, yeah, you know, you're just like, right, gonna say it, and then somebody else says something, and it turns the whole thing around, and you're like, I am so glad I did not speak and didn't, you know, share my opinion, because I would have been in big trouble. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. That is a very good verse and a very good one as we study this wise book of Proverbs. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. And I love the truth of that and that the fruit of that. Because I can look back on my own life, who used to, where the Lord years and years ago spoke the proverb, a fool vents all his feelings. Because I would say too much. I would say my opinion. I would say what I was thinking. And learning that, no, a wise person teaches their mouth, and again, their heart. That doesn't need to be said. That doesn't need to be said. That's not the time, or that's not the place, or that never needs to be said at all. And you add learning to your lips. It is by yielding to the Holy Spirit that we start guarding our own hearts. When we yield more and more to Him, He's protecting us and He's keeping them. And as we yield, then in His power, our tongue can be controlled by Him. By Him. So that's all I want to say about the death part of the tongue, because again, you could go on and on and on and on and really bash people, because we're all guilty, but I don't want to do that. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and your life the way He has mine, as I've read these verses over and over again. But death and life can be in the power of the tongue, in our words. life, and it's our responsibility, as I said earlier, as ambassadors of Christ to represent his heart to others with our words. Okay? So we are to, as it tells us in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's death. That's death words. No corrupt communication. No corrupt deaf conversation. Don't let that come out of your mouth. But it goes on to say what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So we need to say good things because it's necessary to build one another up and minister grace to those around us. We have the privilege and the ability to bring life to people by our words. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful gift and responsibility, and that we can do good in other people's lives by our words, in just talking with them and encouraging them. People need hope. People need encouragement every single day. You know, I don't know if I am not a news person. I am not political. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about politics. I don't want to hear about the news. The news is always bad news. It's sad. People are rotten. They are bashing each other all the time, yelling at each other. And I just, you know, there's enough in my own life that it's hard. I don't need all this other stuff to bring me down. I want to be positive. I want happy things. We all need to be encouraged. We need hope infused in our lives. And we get to give that to other people every single day. Don't you want to be known for that? To be an encourager? To know, oh, when she walks in the room, I know I'm going to be lifted up. Or when I leave her presence, I'm going to be encouraged in some way. She's going to say something. Not that we depend on that, but we can be known for that. That we are a person who brings life to the listener. Our conversations should be edifying, and they should build up the person who's listening to us. You know, the world flatters, and they do it really well. And they're very much into tolerance. They don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. They want to accept everybody. And kindness is a word that is out there, which I don't want them stealing that word because I love that word, kindness. But, you know, there are shirts made about being kind and notebooks and all kinds of things that it's kind of this thing, which is very, very nice. But it's this flattery. I'm going to flatter you and overlook absolutely everything as long as we're all happy and everyone's positive. You know, that's not what we're talking about. Our encouragement, not flattery, our compliments and our encouragement are to be sincere. They're to be from the heart. And they can be because when we look at people the way that God sees them, then it's going to be true. It's going to be sincere. I am amazed sometimes where you can see something, someone, or whatever it might be, and all of a sudden it is that person is the most beautiful person you've ever seen. You've never, you know, now the world may not think that, but it's the Holy Spirit and the love of God within us that puts that love in us for other people. And we need to verbalize that more and more and more. Our conversation should always be gracious, and it should always give the other person the benefit of the doubt, always. always. Love believes what is best. And you give the person the benefit of the doubt. Our conversation, our words are to be sweet. They're to be courteous. They're to be humble. And they're to be soft. Proverbs 15:1 says that a soft answer turns away wrath. A gentle spirit, a soft answer. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And that's beautiful. And that's a good gauge we can run a conversation through as we get together with friends or wherever we might be in a conversation. Are these pleasant? Are they sweet? Are they, you know, are they health to the bones? And if not, let me direct that conversation. Let me turn that conversation around. Colossians 4:6 tells us that our conversation should always be seasoned with salt. It says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Salt preserves from corruption, and we can prevent a conversation from decaying by just turning it and being salty in a healthy way. Salt adds flavor. We can always add spiritual flavor, the love of God to a conversation, and we can keep the conversation on things that matter, things eternal, things that are uplifting and encouraging. We can be loving, kind, and gracious, and then salty in terms of keeping that conversation spiritual and holy. Life is in the power of the tongue. And if our conversations are full of these things, the sweetness and humility and love and grace and compassion and hope, then we will bring life to those who are listening to us. And it doesn't mean that now we have to go think of something profound to say, something very spiritual to say. No, we can just be kind. Just be nice. Be kind and be nice. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Isn't that? It's refreshing when we are around righteous people, holy people, Christ-like people who have good things coming from their mouths. It's like a well of life. It's refreshing to be around people like that. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise promotes health. Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. So true, and we've experienced that being around other people. They always have a good word, something good to say. And then when you realize that you have just blessed somebody because of something kind, something gracious, something loving, something encouraging that you've just said, I mean, that what a huge blessing. That brings joy to your own heart and life. It is a blessing to bring that to other people, to point other people to the Lord, and to use this unruly tongue for good and for God. So every day we need to do a heart check. I hope you do this heart check anyway. It's just a good thing to put into your daily practice, your daily quiet time, every day before the Lord, to get our heart right. Because just because I woke up in the morning and haven't hardly done anything or breathed, that doesn't mean my heart's right. I need to get it right every single morning. I need to sit with the Lord and get that heart in tune with His heart. Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Psalm 17:3, and this is a very good one. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I wake up in the morning, I spend time with the Lord and get my heart right with his, right in line. I feel, you know, sometimes I get up and something's just not right. I don't know what it is, hormones, whatever. Or you remember something that somebody said or did or whatever. I don't know, you're just off. And, you know, by the time I get in there and I sit down for my quiet time and I have my little routine where I'm reading, you know, some devotions and I'm reading the word and my prayer and my journal and all that kind of thing, it's like every single one of those things, it's like, God's heart's here, my heart's here, and it's like moving me closer, it's moving me closer, it's moving me right in line with him. So by the time I get up from the chair, and I better not get up from the chair until this is in line, but by the time I do, my heart is in line with his. It's like, okay, now I can purpose in my mouth, or purpose in my heart that my mouth will not transgress. I can use these scriptures to pray. Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth and keep watch over the door of my lips. I pray that, not every day, but I pray that, and I certainly pray it when I walk into certain situations. I have always done that. Oh God, set a guard over my mouth and keep a watch over the door of my lips. First, you got to get the heart right, remember? Psalm 19:14. This is one I pray almost every day. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And then, after that, we move on to Psalm 51:15. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. That's what I want coming out of my mouth today. I want your praise to come out of my mouth. Psalm 71:8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and your glory all the day. What a wonderful prayer to pray every single morning. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. So let's be the kind of woman, like the Proverbs 31 woman, who opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And let's be true ambassadors and honor the Lord with our words. Let's make someone's day by verbalizing kindness. Recently, I had two different women mention to me that they need to kind of work on that. It's in their heart and in their mind, but they don't think to say it. And we need to put that into practice, because we probably all have very kind thoughts towards those around us and our friends and husbands and kids and parents and whoever's. But we need to put into practice to say it, because how will they know? How will they know? I have to verbalize it. And if for some reason it's hard for some people and they don't, you know, it's hard for them to look at somebody in the eye and say that, but practice that, practice. We can bless them if we verbalize it. If we don't verbalize it, they're not going to be as blessed with our kindness. But let's practice looking for something good and kind to say to every single person we come in contact with. And that is one of the assignments on your discussion questions. So you'll all have a lot of practice by the time you go into your groups next week. You will go in flowing with wonderful, kind, considerate, humble, sweet, wonderful words to each other. So we can then learn to leave every conversation that we have in a kind and encouraging and gracious manner. And Father, that is the desire of our hearts. And oh Lord, help us. Help us. I pray that you would speak to us, Lord, in those areas that we are, that we need work in with this tongue of ours. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to spend that time with you to get our heart right, right in line. Lord, I don't want to be on the left or the right. I want to be right in line with you and your heart and your love and your mercy and your compassion and grace to other people. And Father, I pray that the words on our lips would be kind, they would be sweet, they would be healing, they would infuse hope, encouragement, and that you would help us, Lord, to be a tool for you to bring life to other people. Father, would you so fill our hearts and our lives that all of those things would just overflow from our lives and spill onto those around us. Thank you that you are so kind to us. You never put us down. You're never harsh. You're never discouraging. You have such good things for us. And you lift us up and you pull us along, and we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to be ambassadors of you with our words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And you guys want to stand for this last song?